Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and this is the second time today that I have done this intro.
In my defense, the first one was shit.
The second one was shit as well.
You're not wrong. I'm Jay, and I blame any recording issues on me, whatever.
On our failure to update our equipment?
No, it was my fault.
Oh, was this like a didn't plug it in kind of thing?
No, it was a
power's not on.
Didn't flick the power button.
The classic blunder.
You would think after...
It's okay, I'm going to do everything from here going forward from memory.
Okay. How's that going for you?
I'm Josh. Well, the longer you wait, the harder it's going to get.
Do you mean on the podcast or in life?
No, just the podcast. Oh, okay. I'm going to restore precisely what happened the first time
because,
from memory.
Because as someone who's gotten older in their life, I just want you to know that you're going to struggle.
I'm going
to
use my Bene Gesserit weirding ways to accomplish this.
You might want to inform your wife that you're a Bene Gesserit. I'm not quite sure how.
Details.
I have so many questions. So.
Yes, Jay.
We need to start with the Dank Doom meme, Josh.
Yes, we do. What? Confessing to being Bene Gesserit wasn't dank enough for you, Jay?
I'm hoping that.
Grandparents, ask your kids what dank means.
That if
I'm pretty sure my co-hosts don't know.
Whatever.
Actually, I don't.
I'm pretty sure that if I ingest some of the sweet melange, that it will put a little pep in my step, or
that's
at
fair.
Least I'm hoping.
All right, excellent. The sweet melange of a dank dune. Okay, this one came from our community builders, and it is a comic.
And I don't remember the name because I'm an old man.
I don't remember the name of the person who submitted it.
Oh.
The comic talks about... It introduces us to Shai-Hulud, which is the mighty sandworm.
I can't believe that we're now doing telephone game versions of Dank Doom memes.
Well, this is what it's come to, okay? Push the power button next time. Now, in the
God forbid that you unlock your phone.
Look, I got a really low battery power right now. Jay, this is for the best, I'm sure. Okay, so the Shai-Hulud is, of course, a lone sandworm wandering majestically through the desert with a sigh thought cloud because he's lonely. But the gregarious Hulud is a group of four sandworms who are saying such wonderful things as, "Your teeth look so fantastic, I bet they make the greatest Chris knives." Or, "Hey, do you guys want to go taste some subtle vibrations?" Or, "Sorry I'm late, I had to make spice." You're welcome, Will Hungerford.
He doesn't listen.
I know. But I just love that it irritates him so much.
I'm not sure that it's disappointment so much as, or irritation.
Yeah,
is
it's
disappointment.
Yeah, that's fair. That's probably fair.
So our listeners deserve to know, Josh, if this is week four of the 5-day fast.
You know what? I feel like I let them down, though, because I decided to take this week off. So I had 3 weeks, consecutive weeks of 5-day fasting. And now I'm just eating whatever I want all the time.
As one does. If
a bag of M&Ms fell through the floor right now, I would eat them. Because I'm so lazy. The fasting thing is working for me simply because I don't have to answer very many questions. Correct. Can I eat that? No. The end. The flowchart is so simple for me.
I don't. That is the weirdest form of laziness. I'm so lazy, I won't even eat.
It's not the eating, it's the preparing.
That too, yes. Yeah, that's also true. Like, look, I've done every diet known to man.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
what has been the weirdest diets you've done to date, Josh?
What's the one where you like rubbed the chemical that comes out of a pregnant woman's urine on your stomach?
What?
Yeah, that's a thing. I don't think that's how the chemical is actually harvested, but...
And I'm sure that's not what it said. Like, they don't tell it to you that way.
Yeah, they don't tell you, hey, you're rubbing pregnant lady pee on your stomach.
Okay.
But yeah, I've done that.
Is it because there's, like, some hormone in it?
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, that's your 10?
That's probably the weirdest. That's the worst I can think of.
Okay.
I'm looking this up, so...
What is... On the 1 to 10 scale, didn't you do you have to eat 10 apples a day at one point?
I have done.
How many apples was it?
I have done an only apples and sardines diet.
Okay.
I'd actually do okay with the apples part of it. I love apples.
Actually, I find sardines quite tasty now.
How was that one?
It's the hormone is HCG or something like that, for the record.
Okay. Duly recorded.
Okay. I didn't mind that one, honestly. The apples and sardines. Now, are you asking me how it was in terms of, like, success as measured by change in weight?
Sure. That'd be interesting, too.
Lasting change in weight.
Yeah. What? Whoa.
Yeah, those are definitely two different categories.
Yeah, I mean, and I can lose weight.
For the category of lasting change in weight, there is nothing that's ever worked.
Okay.
Ever.
Not even diet and exercise.
I am like the stock market. I slowly go up over time when measured over a 40-year span.
Can I invest in you? Do you have a prospectus?
Yeah, if we can find a way to harvest this fat and make it profitable.
I would like to know what my returns are.
Dank. They're dank.
What I need to find is, I don't want a hedge fund. I just want like a low fee.
Yes. Exchange traded fat.
Yes.
ETFs only.
I'm sure there's a market for that somewhere.
Actually, I would love to see this. One of my buddies said one day he was just going to invent a diet that was literally like the Wheel of Fortune. You just spun a wheel every morning and that's what you could eat the day.
I'm sure someone could make it.
I think you could make gangbusters with a book.
Just do it with an app. And
Yeah, you're right.
It can be like a press your luck. No whammies. Oh, fuck. It's asparagus.
Sardines again.
You know, some of our jokes, they're literally one of my favorite nights of the week is we have a friend. We all know him. He comes to my house to play games, board games on Wednesday nights.
Okay.
We were playing Gloomhaven. Right now we're playing Legacy Betrayal.
Nice.
And we make these references because all of us in the group are 38 plus. Okay. My wife is the youngest besides him.
Mm-hmm.
And we say these things and he just stares at us like, you guys come from a completely, totally different planet. Yeah. Like he has no clue.
Although The Price is Right is back, bitches.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Wait, who's the host?
I don't know.
Oh.
But it's actually.
Oh, you're talking about Price is Right.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about.
Oh, you're talking about Wheel of Fortune.
No, I'm talking about the No Whammies one.
Oh.
It is?
Press yes. Your Luck. That was press literally called Press Your Luck. Yeah. Oh, it's really back? Oh,
yeah, and it's getting like funny. Amazing ratings.
I want to watch it so bad. That was my favorite game show as a kid. It's funny, though. I had this conversation with my daughter just the other day. She said to me, she's 13. So for her, their commercials have not existed. She says,
right.
She says, how do
truly we've built a better world.
Yeah. She says, yeah. She says, how do game shows pay their contestants? And I'm like, And so we had a half an hour conversation about advertising. And I use The Price is Right as the example because it's basically one big advertisement from start to finish.
Right.
Here's a product. Here's how much it is. Ooh, I want that product. I know how much it is now. I mean, it blows me away that they live in a completely different world than we grew up in. Completely different.
Yeah, I remember I follow Adrian on on Twitter, and they were traveling somewhere, and they were at a hotel, and they put on the TV, and it had commercials, and his son was like,
what is going on?
What's wrong with the television? I don't understand what's happening here.
Why is the screen wasting my time?
Meanwhile, anyways, I was about to have like a get off my yard moment about YouTube. Yes, but
right. Actually, did all jingle writers, like, did they go extinct?
I don't know. We had that conversation too about like we knew I could basically sing her a jingle about every product in her house.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we got jingles on everything. And she's never heard any of these things because they just don't watch commercials in any way, shape, or form.
I hope that they didn't go extinct, that they're preserved somewhere on an island.
That there are still jingle writers
like
out
there. Like the Lost World, you know.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about the community builders.
Oh, man. Okay.
From memory.
You son of a gun. All right, listen. This week's community builders topic is getting new people into the hobby.
The nomination was by...
I said your words.
Dang it. We had several nominations, one of which did provide the Shai Hulud teaching and almost tipped me over the edge, but I wanted to talk about the nomination of one Ben Pohl.
Oh, we got it!
I know who was nominated. I just don't remember who nominated him.
All right.
Nikdu Baratu. But anyway, the reason I liked the nomination of Mr. Ben Pohl is they talked about that he is from a small town and he has endured the trials of maintaining or rebuilding a small meta. And as a matter of fact, one of the things he's doing is maintaining or creating a variety of armies so that he has different armies to give different demos for, and that they've also talked about other ways that he can rebuild and maintain his small meta. So I just wanted to give the award, which is, what is it, Jay?
$50 of suggested retail of Privateer Press products.
See, I didn't have to remember that part because that's Jay's part. But we wanted to give him that shout out and that award and encourage the other Ben Pohls of the world out there to continue to build small metas.
It does definitely have some challenges running a small meta, but I'll also say that it can be rewarding as well. And so,
you definitely get to know each other well.
It's true.
for better or for worse.
Yeah, that's true.
So, new products or things available from Muzon Minis. The first one, we have a Move Line tray that is officially Guild Ball licensed. So, check that out. And it has all the sweet, sweet tools that you can use to play Guild Ball. The next product or thing that we have available at Muzon Minis is the pre-sale for the Infernals token set. These tokens will be available at product launch in July. So go get your pre-sale secured and buy your sweet Muzon Minis tokens.
I'm just so glad that there's another Move Line tray in existence.
So say we all.
Please bring more into... Please create more as it makes sense to do so.
Move Line trays. I'm just too sleep deprived. The connection that I made of like Battlestar Galactica. The best thing in Battlestar Galactica was Earthfall. I think that was the name of the episode. Is that right?
Oh yes, probably. It might still be the greatest episode of television.
I can't believe you guys know these episodes by name.
Like, created by mankind. It affected me that deeply.
I don't know. Favorite shows, I don't know by. I know none of the episodes by name.
That's true. I mean, I would recommend to you the Goldberg's Swear Jar episode, but I couldn't tell you that episode name.
There's very few that I actually know by name. I can't. Another one that I know by name is like, you watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like the episode where it all absolutely hits the fan.
That's on my list.
I wouldn't know the name of it.
It has a really cool name. It's like,
yeah, that, in fact, that's one of the shows that I remember looking at the names and thinking, oh, that's a cool name, especially after you watch the episode or the coming off the previous episode. They had
it was a demon's name or something like that.
Good names. Yeah, yeah. They were memorable, but I still don't remember them.
That's funny. Okay, but Earthfall. Again.
Yeah, amazing.
Arguably the greatest episode of television ever.
There you have it from Josh's lips. So, basically, the Move Line tray.
I wouldn't take what Josh says about TV or movies with a whole lot of weight.
Just because
he's missed
extremely
quite
limited.
A few of the potential episodes out there.
I would be interested to hear what are the contenders.
Oh, I would have to think about
it.
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying just right here.
I bet you there's a Breaking Bad episode that's got to be close.
That's better than Earthfall.
I'm not going to say better because I would actually have to go back and review them.
I really do love the season finale of season 6 of Game of Thrones.
And would you, the problem is like some of them, the dramatic ones, I don't feel like should be in the same category as the comedic ones, but there's some comedic shows that I think some of the episodes are brilliant. So, but I wouldn't want to like compare them because they're just not. Like right. I have a really soft place in my heart for some of the Better Off Ted episodes.
That was a fun, but it was like 2 seasons. I mean, right?
Yeah,
HBO did a great contrast with that because a lot of times they had Veep running at the same time as Game of Thrones, and they're 2 completely different shows, but both really well done. So, anyways, Move Line Tray is the Earthfall of TV shows. There you go. That's
nice.
That's the tortured comparison.
Oh gosh.
I'm so sorry.
We are horrible at this.
I'm so sorry.
I have never been more proud of your ability to cobble together the most tortured comparison ever.
All this needed was if I had done like some alliteration.
Yes. Then, or made it into an acronym.
Yes, right? And it would have been Josh's proudest moment.
The creme de la creme it would have been for me.
For Discount Games Inc., shoot me an email at j@discountgamesinc.com for deals that are too good to be mentioned.
Did Undaunted come in yet, Jay?
Sorry,
that's totally unfair of me to ask you that just off the cuff.
I don't even remember. Like,
it's an Osprey Games card drafting World War II two-player game.
Right.
You're getting a two-player game?
I know.
Have you not learned?
Jed and I play a lot of two-player games now.
Oh, okay.
That's all I got. But, you know, like we've almost beat City of Kings two-player.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah. And there have been some hard losses.
Have you liked that game?
I have enjoyed it quite a bit.
I need to get some recommendations, so stuff I can play with Colt. You and like from you.
Well, you should when we get done with it. Like,
he demands constantly that we play board games, and I'm just like, I don't have time to set up and do all this stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I need a card game that
you
we
need
can
a
whip
quick
out.
Setup one.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps I'll check out Undaunted, and maybe it will be a quick card game for you.
With Discount Games Inc. as well, there is a lot of exciting things happening with Infernals. And so get your Infernals items from Discount Games Inc. We have it listed at 15% off. And then if you contact me, you can find out how you can save even more.
You can find deals so good that you might sell the soul of your world.
I won't even require your soul.
Wow.
I'll just take a reduced amount of your filthy lucre. Okay. Amazing. So we're going to do a pre-lock and load episode, which I guess we technically did last week.
Okay.
But
you listen, call whatever you want, maybe.
We have always taken the opportunity to stretch a 10 minutes of content into 3 or 4 episodes.
Awesome. Okay.
We're like the Munchkin card game.
Yes. We're the Munchkin card games of podcasts.
I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm upset with myself now.
It feels like you're being too kind to us. It feels a little more accurate that we're the killer bunnies.
Now I'm going to go home and kill myself. Yeah. That's horrible. I feel so bad
just
now.
Just roll a d20 and you'll know the end of the episode. Oh, my heck.
That is the worst.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about some cool things that have been going on with Privateer Press in the lead up to Lock and Load. Some of these, a lot of you probably already know this, but some of you won't, and also I think it'll just be fun to talk about, and I think that it was something cool that was well done. So one of the things that when the CID came out, there's a bunch of solos in the game, and a lot of them, they had kind of weird names. And none of them were people that had already existed.
Yeah, no one recognized them as being from.
And which, honestly, I didn't really think too much about.
Yeah, I don't. That sort of stuff does not really come up as a thought process. To me, it's a fluid game. They can make whatever they want. So
right. And it kind of made sense with like, oh, they just have like this invasion going on or whatever. But then we found out, and it was kind of funny. I got sent my models for like my unboxing videos and blog posts and painting and stuff like that. And my contact at Private Press, Jeff, was like, okay, you can show off anything, but don't show the model for Quintus Faustus. And he's like, we have some things planned with him. I'm like, okay. But so happy to comply. Didn't really put much thought into it.
Did you see the model yourself?
I had. Okay. They mailed it to me.
Oh. This is just part of the unboxing.
It was so. Right. It's like wasn't supposed to post anything about it online.
Okay.
So complied, and I looked at them and didn't really
make any connection. Okay.
And then they came out with some wanted posters. And the first one that they did was a wanted poster of Orin Midwinter that was had an alias for Lord Adept Quintus Faustus. And so the thing that was kind of fun with it is that they basically, with the CID testing, they did a bunch of aliases for the characters in the CID. And when they're releasing into War Room, they are releasing as Orin Midwinter 2. It's not
Quintus. Oh, I didn't realize that. So he's in War Room. He's not even going to be Quintus Faustus.
Correct. He's not going to be Quintus Faustus. He is going to be Orin Midwinter 2. Oh, he'll have a title or whatever. Funny. But
yeah, Orin Midwinter. Well,
but more importantly, it will say Orin Midwinter 2.
Correct. Yes.
Somewhere on his card.
Yes.
Not in War Room, where it's convenient for me to.
No, not in like the title thing where it's where
I can make a distinction between.
Correct. You'll still be
models or casters.
Yeah, you'll still have a difficult time figuring out which is which.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is honestly, that is what I would sell my soul to the Infernals for.
I mean, that makes sense.
That is not a deal they're willing to make.
They won't go that far. Okay, I misunderstood that. I thought they were still going to have the same names.
No.
That is funny.
So at that point, everyone's just like, oh, that's really cool. Then, like a day, maybe two passed, and another wanted poster comes out. And this one is for Mordecai, Master of Arms.
Okay.
And this one is also known as Lord Alain Runewood. And Runewood has been a solo in Signar for a long time. He buffs units, you know, it's Sword Knights, etc. And at this point, everyone was like, oh my god, there's going to be multiples of these, and who else...
is a traitor.
Who else is a traitor? What other shoe is going to drop? And then some of them were, you know, I was like, oh, it'd be so amazing if the great princess was Vel or something like that.
Wait, so does this mean, so Runewood 2 mm-hmm. will be an Infernalist solo?
He is an Infernal solo.
Okay.
It's kind of like Gorshade 1, 2, 3 are Crix and Gorshade 4 is Retribution.
Sure. Okay. I'm with you.
Okay.
All right. It's not without precedent.
It's not. Yeah.
Okay.
So then people start like comparing abilities to
to known models. Okay.
And
because I see now that the Quintus Faustus, you could definitely see the
there's
seed of Orin Midwinter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there were some where we were making guesses on characters that weren't going to have these were going to be the first incarnations of them. The princess is one, so is Valen Hawk, the Death Knight. There was a long time that people were like, oh, maybe Valen Hawk is actually Gravis or Stannis Brocker.
Right. Mm-hmm. That would have been kind of cool. Okay.
It would have. But on the other hand, kind of the way that, like, if you look at Valen Hawk's model, his horse looks super dead for a long time. Which.
Just meaning it would have been more likely that he were a Crix or something.
Meaning the assumption that. If, like, Stannis Brocker had become a Death Knight, right. That his horse would not yet be that desiccated.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. How could something, you know, magical happen in a fantasy world where a horse became desiccated quicker?
Quiet, listen!
Listen, Linda.
But people did start making some guesses, and actually the next two that came out were ones that a lot of people had guessed. One of them, I actually kind of love this one, but Kazia Brand, the Screaming Knight, is actually Nissia, the Tear of Vengeance.
Nice.
And then Gideon Asher is Eilish.
Which I heard, I thought I saw someone say they weren't surprised by that.
Right. That one didn't surprise me at all.
Meaning that you weren't surprised that he was an Infernalist. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nissia is, everyone's like, oh my, kind of surprising, right?
Right.
And actually there is an insider that came out today that it actually gives like kind of the backstory of how each of these four ended up becoming Infernalists.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So did you read the Nissia Fluff?
Yeah.
So teach us, Grandmaster Fluff Bunny
J. Yeah, where's our intro music for the Fluff Bunny J corner? I don't ever want to hear that again. You can record it and pipe it in. I don't mind. I just don't want him to have to do it every week.
The issue is that every time I paste it in, I'd be thinking of not something else.
Not so. Bunny rabbits?
No.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, tell us. Why did Nicias sell her soul?
Basically, it was she was married and was very angry over the death of her husband and started exacting vengeance. And then she saw the deal that she made with the Infernals as her only chance to potentially be reunited with her husband.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah, classic love.
Yes, yes. Boy meets girl.
Boy dies.
Girl sells her soul to demons.
Girl opens the way to wreak havoc on the entire world.
Yes, yeah. Tell as old as time.
Okay.
Sorry, what? I just got a Google Calendar notification that I'm staying at the Hilton Bellevue tomorrow.
Do you share Jay's Google Calendar, perhaps?
No.
Did you make a reservation?
Did I make a reservation and forget to cancel it? That is quite possible,
That would be amazing.
I've done that before. Actually, I did that last year.
I hope that I did not do such things, but
okay,
we'll find out soon.
Just hats off, kudos to Privateer Press. I think that this was a really cool way that they handled this CID and this rollout of the new faction. It's been a really cool way that they've handled it. Did you guys have any cool reactions or thoughts or surprises with this?
Are you surprised that the Princess Gravnoy is not a known Kador solo? She'd have to be a solo.
Not necessarily. She'd probably have to be a character model.
Okay.
But you can have character models that aren't solos.
Yeah, I see your show. No, anyway, I don't have any other reactions. I do think it's just really cool. Really
there were
well
some of them, like the Grand Princess, that was in some of the various source materials.
Uh-huh.
Like Kings, Gods, and Nations, I think she was in. So were some of the other ones.
Mm.
Valen Hawk was in an RPG.
So it's their first appearance on the War Machine Hordes table. Yes. But not their first appearance in
the Iron Kingdoms.
Iron Kingdom as materials.
As yeah. The Fluffer Master. I know these things.
I wanted to sing it again really bad, but carry on.
We can wait until it's the outro, Josh. So another thing, just to, I guess, say that I think that Predator Press has done that's been well done. They've had various narrative events throughout the year, and they would take the results of the event, and then Aaron Rudell would write, usually it's around 60 pages of a storyline that's in response to what happened in that, which I'm not sure what counts as a novella at this point, but 60 pages I think might be novella
length.
Works
for me, yeah, that feels novella-ish.
And so they have, Privateer Press has released three of these novella-length stories for free on the internet that you can go and download. The most recent one just released this week. And I think there's a lot of people that are maybe unaware of these things that are going on or that Privateer Press is doing, or I'll occasionally see in Facebook groups people complaining about no longer having fluff or the storyline of the setting not progressing anymore. And so my hope is that part of the reason why I want to talk about this is so that people have a chance to know that it's actually going on if they haven't heard about it. So that's cool.
Thank you for making us aware.
Another thing that Hungerford talked about this a little bit when he came on the show a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that there was going to be a big narrative game that...
Oh, yeah. He posted a picture. Did you see?
Yeah, he posted a picture. I've also... Danny has been working on the tables. I've seen some pictures from him of the large table that they're going to be playing on. But another thing that's cool is it's actually really worth looking at the insiders that Privateer Press has been doing lately. They've had some pretty cool stuff in them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that they just did was Aaron Rudell talked about some of what it's been like writing these stories with it and what the creative process behind it is. And one of the things that he said was that, you know, they're going to play this narrative game at Lock and Load, and then he'll write a final chapter afterwards. And he didn't like flat out say that whoever wins, the other side is going to have warcasters die. But he basically said everything except for flatly stating that. It was basically like,
am I a bad person that I think that would be so awesome?
No, I think a lot of people agree with you.
Oh, okay. That would be awesome. Like, would that translate to those, that caster's not even like a viable piece anymore?
No.
Yeah, so, unfortunately not.
So, as an example, you might not even be aware
of, I mean, I guess technically Barnabas 1 is dead.
Well, not really. But I can give you an example of someone who
I'm
is.
I'm ready. Okay.
As a lore master.
Yes, yes, yes. Cue the music.
In one of the novels, I think Godless was maybe the name of the novel.
Okay.
But Severus dies in that novel. Severus is dead right now.
Oh, in canon.
In canon.
He is dead.
He's dead. Yeah. There's a new
only
hierarchy.
Nicias Vengeance can reunite us with him through the Infernalist. Okay.
But you can still obviously play.
Okay, because really your games aren't bound by the time nor space of the fluff.
Yeah, and...
I would like to see a timeline with characters on it that said you can play during this time period and the characters that, like, you can only play...
That would be kind of a cool way to Alexa, do a limited...
I mean, it would be more for fun thing, but you can say, in this year, you have to play Alexia 2, you have to play Haley 3.
And they it seems like they've had a Steamroller variant where... You could only play with the latest incarnation.
Yeah, they have had that, but that's a little different than what I'm talking about. But yeah,
that'd still be interesting, though.
I mean, honestly, I've never played in a Steamroller where you have to play the latest variant, but I think that it would be interesting. I think we should try.
Yeah, it would be fun to
after our July Champions League. Let's go, Jay.
Very well.
I have
consider
to say,
it. Consider.
See, the problem. Thank you. The problem is to me, this sounds like permadeath in like XCOM or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I love permadeath. What's wrong with me? I like to have invested hours and hours of work.
XCOM's different though, because
how so?
Because you have a rotating squad of people that can move in and take that place, and there's only four.
I see what you're saying.
There's only four roles, and to replace that, you're never losing a whole role.
Oh, really?
Well,
let me tell you about a young man who mismanaged his assault class.
Okay, that's possible. Hey, the assault class is probably the hardest to manage.
And was only bringing rookies in by, a few missions in.
Yeah. Believe me, I was very scared when my character, Bishop Wheeler, almost died once.
Was that assault class?
Yes, you were.
That's funny, yeah.
And anyway, so... I
see what you're saying though.
You lose a character.
You're not gonna be able to rotate a warcaster in that same.
Not something way. That fits the same role. Sometimes I mean, especially in some of the factions where there's only one or two warcasters that have an interesting or different role.
Yeah.
If you were to lose those, that basically wipes that role away from that faction completely.
That makes sense. Okay. But I love knowing that in canon, death could come unexpectedly.
Yeah, and so are you ready to, excuse me?
I wish it would come more frequently, honestly. I mean, these factions are at
war.
Huge,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're
yeah,
at right. war, and nobody ever dies.
Are you about to tell me who might die, Jay?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's two Signar casters and two Kador casters.
You had me at two Signar casters.
Yeah, can we just have those?
Do they both
just
die?
Pick those?
I mean,
can we vote?
Kador's been getting their
I'll vote for all four of them.
Like, all across
they can the, all die, all four of them.
All across the table.
Yeah, but aren't they the ones who built the airships now?
Well...
They should have plot armor for at least a year.
As lore master.
Plot armor.
Yes, lore master, Jay.
Nemo was one of the people instrumental in developing
like
the airships.
Chief engineer for developing.
Okay. And Circle helped Kador design their airships.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That seems...
It, go with it.
Okay.
Have you seen their battle engine?
They have like these... They talk about it in the second novella, and it's almost sounds like these earth runes underneath the ship that's keeping it aloft or whatever, but...
Ooh.
Okay.
Repulsor runes.
Thought they were anti-civilization, but whatever.
Let it go.
Could be these two Signar casters or two
okay, yeah,
casters.
Yeah. What's your guys' guesses?
As far as the casters?
The casters that will
who's
going to
die?
Yeah. Aaron said...
Well, now that you told me Nemo's instrumental, I hope Nemo's one of them.
Actually, Nemo is one of them,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I hope it's Haley, but...
It's not Haley.
I know it's not.
Come on now.
Her plot man can, armor. A man
her plot armor is Vorpal, baby.
Actually, I'm going to tell you the other Signar one, and it's going to blow your mind.
Because it's Stryker?
It's Stryker.
Oh.
I mean, his plot armor is worn thin. He's been wearing it for a long time.
It's a little rusty. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like the golden boy. He's the personification of Matt Wilson.
Yeah, trust me, if he dies, let him die. That's true. But if he dies, he'll be back.
That's probably true.
Comic book style.
Stryker the Archon, and here it comes.
Well.
Oh, jeez.
No, it'll probably be Haley the Time Mage will bring him back.
Okay, that's fine.
Or he'll be rescued from
the
grasp of the Inferno.
She'll do revive.
However the comic plot armor works, you know, he'll be back.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, are we about to discover the Iron Kingdom's multiverse, have we already discovered it?
No, I think we're about to discover it.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it doesn't currently exist, right? Like,
no, I think it does from Haley probably messing with timelines.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Riot Quest is
an alternate timeline.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Well, okay, which reminds me, this is only slightly connected. Remind me when Oblivion comes out. It's not coming out at lock and load, right?
It's not.
Gen Con time frame. Was.
Okay.
Not far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A month or so away, right? 5-6
from
weeks.
Now, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit more than that.
You what, Jay?
The street date for Oblivion is September.
Oh.
But there will be pre-release con ones before then.
Okay.
Okay, guesses on Kador.
Oh, on who the casters are.
On who's actually going to die.
Butcher.
No.
No.
Do you think his plot armor is as thick as Haley's?
No. She's pretty thick. Like, I just don't ever see her.
Yeah.
And we're getting Butcher 4 in Riot Quest.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny. I mean, I would go with Irusk.
Irusk is correct.
Nice. Harkovich.
No.
Dang.
What's the trencher guy? Or not trencher guy, the assault commando guy.
Strakov.
Strakov?
Yeah, Strakov's the second one.
So Iris can Strakov. And you don't think they're all four going to potentially die?
I hope so. They should all die.
But from
it has been interesting.
The entire airship just...
It'll be interesting. Yeah, granted, make it happen. So when it's been the community playing this out, Kador has been losing every time, which is kind of predictable given that it's like one faction kind of against...
The world. Yeah.
Against Lael and their allies.
Right.
Is that how they're playing it?
What if Circle...
What do you mean?
Like, if I bring Crucible Guard to the table at Lock,
I'm not sure what the
am I being
rules
forced
are, actually.
To the...
I think that you declare your side.
Okay. Is there a side where I can declare against all four of them?
Yeah, it's probably secretly Circle. And those Earth runes are actually set to right when they get over the middle of the major population center.
I'm now in. I'm on board.
Circle echo terrorists.
As it should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, supposedly, based off of what Aaron said, two of those casters are going to...
Is it guaranteed that the two of that die are going to be from the same faction, or could it be one and one?
He made it sound like, from reading his insider, I got the impression that one side would be the winner, one side would be the loser, and the loser side would lose their two casters.
Interesting.
Rad.
Lose their two casters in the fluff.
In canon, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Where it matters.
Yeah. Correct.
Does it really?
Yes.
What you got next, Jay?
So this is maybe a good point for us to do a digression about predictions for Lock and Load.
Oh.
Because...
Wait, is there a new faction?
Back at the end of 2018...
Okay.
When we started Chain Attack Community Builders, right, this, around the same time,
mm-hmm.
Matt Wilson did an insider where he did a preview of the year to come.
Right.
And part of that insider, he said that there will be a new technology, a new model that will shake up Imran, the Iron Kingdoms, whatever. And that's been the airships in the Stormbreak narratives.
That is
in the
model.
Narratives, though, but I mean,
right,
in the narratives, they're huge.
Correct. So, and if you look at the table that they're playing on,
like it's like the top of the ship.
They have
right?
multiple
and it's
colossals.
A 16-foot ship. 16-foot table.
Right. They have multiple colossals that are, you know, like
running around
on the deck of the ship.
Yeah.
So it's more like
it's more like the
helicarrier of in Marvel.
So okay. So this just hit me. What if they come out with epic size the 40K epic size for War Machine.
That would be nuts.
Like you can play Colossals, but they're actually, they only stand about an inch and a half tall.
I was just wondering if they could do a model that was like an airship, but like the model on the table was just like the shadow of the airship, right? So it's actually like flying way above
you can,
the table.
You can do that anyway, Josh.
How so?
You just make a cutout, paper cutout, and put it up next to the light and be like, this is my airship, bitches.
That would just be rad if you could have them and they would have rules that was like, you know, orbital bombardment once a game.
I want bold, daring predictions from you two.
On what?
So
anything that'll be released.
I'm talking about the keynote.
Oh, okay.
So at the keynote, do you think that they're going to announce a new model type? Do you think there's going to be some tie-in to airships? And the second one is going to be, what faction do you think they're going to announce?
All right. No new model type. But an unexpected pig colossus. I mean, gargantuan. Dang it. It could be a colossus.
Speak with your heart, Josh.
And my prediction is a faction that is like the antithesis of Infernals. So, because
we already have that.
Do we have that in the Archon models? Is that what you're telling me?
I think they're basically the antithesis of the Infernals, yes.
Fine.
Have you seen the artwork for them?
Mermaid faction. There you go.
So
underwater, we're make the Idunneth Deepkin. The what?
Idunneth Deepkin.
Yeah, what a great idea.
No, that's not going to happen.
Fine. That was as bold as I could get.
You want bold predictions or what? No, I actually think.
Actually, what you actually think?
Oh yeah. Well, no, I don't think there's going to be new model types. I do think that this is laying the groundwork for a new model type. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. I think the plot will progress to the point where they will miniaturize some of these airships that you will eventually see them on the table. I just don't think it's this year.
I think that, well, and we're, by that definition, the faction that you're predicting isn't going to be out this year either, which is...
No,
I'm saying they won't even
have a preview of airships. I'm saying that maybe next year they'll have a preview of airships coming out in 2021. I'm saying
that, my prediction is that they will.
That they'll preview smaller airships?
Or that they will, that they're going to start having smaller airships in the game.
That will be like, I'm going to dig into your prediction here a little more. Like, will they have like flight or will they have like, you know, advanced flight, like suborbital flight? Like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, how high will they go versus the Archangel?
I don't know.
I mean.
All right, it's a fair question.
Okay.
It seems difficult with the current rule set to actually make work.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Okay. All right, so what are your non-bold predictions on the faction announcement? Are you just going to go double down on Zoo over there, Trevor?
Double down? I've been saying Zoo for like the last 5 years.
Well, I can't remember how to say quintuple down or whatever.
Yes, I believe it'll be Zoo again.
All right.
I will continue saying that until they come for me.
Does the fact that there is a
75 millimeter totem hunter that is releasing at Lock and Load.
What is 75 millimeter?
It's big.
But like
it is intended as...
It's a modeler's thing.
Yeah, kind of like the bus that they make occasionally.
It'll be probably 6 inches tall.
Okay.
5 to 6 inches tall is what a 75
is
millimeter.
Is it the same sculpt as the Totem Hunter?
No.
Is it different?
It's different.
Okay.
And
you mean in the female Totem Hunter?
That's what I meant. Then the female Totem Hunter that got released in the mini.
Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
I sent you a side by side.
I saw them. They are in the exact same position with the exact same details. They're just blown up.
There are many similarities, but they're definitely different sculpts.
I was unsure.
I would be shocked if they're different sculpts. I think that they're probably just the 3D model blown up.
Like, as a matter of fact, the skull she's holding, the bigger model, are different skulls than the pig skull.
That's so hard to change in the 3D model.
There's also differences in
her hairdo in the head, different, yeah,
et cetera. But
okay, anyway, so
some of that is because of the molding process.
The fact that is there, does that lend credence to Trevor's Zoo prediction?
No.
All right.
I'm going to go with yes.
But your Zoo prediction.
Yes. You are going to go with yes?
Are you predicting Zoo?
I think you'd be on my side.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Zoo.
You think it's going to be Zoo?
It's not Covenant of Dragons? Okay, let me ask you this. So here's my next question.
Yes.
If it is Zoo, what does Trevor fill the hole in his heart with?
What
will his new prediction have to be
for the
next 5 years going forward?
I won't have it. Dwarves. There's Rulic models. There's not a Rulic faction.
Oh, but just a fully Dwarven faction? Kind of cool.
I actually have said that in the past. I would still... I would be more into that than probably any other thing they could probably bring forward.
There would be no greater, like, test of my resolve to buy every new faction.
Than dwarves?
Than dwarves.
You don't have to buy every new faction.
Do I?
I mean, now he kind of does.
Not
frankly.
Have to. Yeah,
I expect
right.
that. I expect that of the lore master.
That's fair.
I hope that it's Zoo.
I hope it's Zoo so that Trevor can begin predicting dwarves from now on.
So that Trevor can have joy in his heart.
Yes.
You see, the thing that
one
you
heartbeat.
You said something incorrect.
I'm ready.
You said something would fill the hole in my heart, and that is just never going to happen, Josh. I will always be a bitter old man.
Fair enough.
It's true.
I misspoke. I just meant fill your prediction hole. You know.
Sort of like an a-hole.
Yes. Okay, so that's both your predictions then, a Zoo, huh?
I think it's probably
Zoo
time.
Okay.
I think that they've probably been trying to work on it for a while. I think it's probably time. I wouldn't be shocked by it. But
for Zoo.
I also wouldn't be shocked by them doing something completely off the wall.
Covenant of Dragons.
That actually I don't think is going to happen. But I
Ever?
Would. I think it will.
It probably will at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can talk a little bit now about some of the updates that just happened today.
To War Room?
Yeah, so first we'll talk about the dev notes. The first one, they made a change to Soul Things.
Soul Ward.
Soul Ward. Okay, go ahead and tell us about the change,
or
Trevor.
Soul whatever. I might be wrong, too. The only change that happened is that it removed the part of it that said that enemy models cannot gain souls while you're in your area of influence, which is different depending on if you're looking at the Supreme Guardian or a caster. It would be either command or control, depending on which one's which. But
so now it just directs where it goes off your friendly souls.
Yeah, it's direct spirits, and it's just you get to pick where the soul goes. It removed the prohibition of enemy models getting their own souls.
Okay.
So in a mirror match of Supreme Guardians or Zaltus, you can't stop your opponent from getting. It doesn't completely shut off souls everywhere. And I think this is probably not a big deal for Scorn per se. I mean, I think that, you know, those casters and things will still be pretty good. But there was a few matchups where it was just flat impossible for an opponent to play into them. And I think that's probably gone now at this point. I think those players can now actually play into Zal and not be completely lost. You know, the tournament Terminus's style casters
right.
that are looking for souls.
Right. Okay. That's cool. So some of the other updates that we received in the dev notes that were also pretty cool were in relation to the Infernals. And basically it said that in the wanted posters there on the very bottom, it said also looking for
Jarrett Crow,
something
Crow. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found out that Crow and Crow's Cutthroats are now also partisan Infernals.
Okay.
And we've also found out that Saxon Oryk, Orin Midwinter 1, and Eilish 1 are also
partisan. Oh, that's kind of a big deal. That's
and
cool.
Not only are they partisan, here's the part that has all of
the internet aflutter,
the Infernals players rejoicing a little bit. They also have now the Marked Soul ability.
Okay, so they're solos that can...
They're solos that you can use for summoning to
mm-hmm.
become horrors. And which is actually really, really good for Infernals because they've had a lot of solos that... I think if we look at the production cycle and now a little bit of why things worked out how they did, we can, I think, kind of divine sort of what happened. The production cycle gets laid out in advance. And it got set. And granted, I'm going to say that this is my supposition of what I believe happened.
Okay.
Of me putting evidence together.
Pure rampant speculation.
Yes.
Go.
So they set the production cycle. They start the CID for the Infernals, and they decide that, and they're using the aliases. They decide that, and when they set the production cycle, they have in mind this idea of we're going to have this kind of cool surprise that these solos are traitors, and we're going to put aliases in the CID, etc. But the issue with that is that when they put out solicitations to retailers, the solicitations are going to have the product name on there, and the product name is going to say Orin Midwinter 2. And so these character solos that were traitors, they decided to push back towards the end of the production cycle so that it didn't ruin the surprise when they were on the solicitations at the start of the cycle.
Okay.
But the problem is that then we get into the CID, and we do the CID, and the summoning mechanic is pretty strong. And they're like, okay, we need to balance this a little bit. Okay, what we're going to do is you're going to have to sacrifice a solo in order to balance things a little bit.
Right, right.
And so when they set the production cycle, they didn't know how essential the
marked souls,
were going to be in these solos. Well, and
truthfully, those two departments are not.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they have different tasks.
Right.
They're not really involved with each other, so as far as that's concerned.
Correct. So there were a fair number of Infernals players who were kind of pissy that, like, these are models that are key to the core mechanics of our game, and they're not releasing until the end of the cycle. But in my opinion, that's probably how we got here. But the bright side is that now we have a few Mark Souls that you can throw in your list now, besides some of the other ones that we already have, like the Wretches and Quintus Faustus. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So we had those updates. And then one final story we can talk about that's a little bit amusing is that Hungerford went on the social medias and said, we have a content update on War Room. You can download it if you want to. You're not going to be able to use it until tomorrow. And tomorrow we're going to push a update on the app. And then when the app updates, you'll be able to, the content, you'll be able to use it and look at the new Infernal stuff.
Right.
So people did their download and then promptly posted on Facebook groups that if you hit, filter all keyword model names, so Amadamus, then it shows the data for Amadamus in your search. So people immediately started searching all of the names of the Infernals.
Oh, man. Saints preserve any company whose core demographic are technically capable people, like the nerds that many of us are.
But the story's not done there.
Okay.
So they start looking at stuff, and one of the casters, Agathon was kind of viewed as not super exciting.
Okay.
But the thing that was cool about her is that she had 9 essence.
Mm.
So download the cards, look at her, and she's essence 7.
Oh, man.
And then not only that, there is this solo, the Great Princess, who is essence 5, and she wants to be casting D-Cell and potentially summoning Horror, and she goes from essence 5 to essence 4. And so the Infernals group is like
they're trying to make dark pacts with the new.
They're like, this is already, what's right? What's going on here? Like, Zadaroth was clearly the strongest caster, and Agathon just got nuked from orbit. I don't understand. And in the spirit of it isn't a dank doom meme, but it is pretty glorious.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna give this to you, Josh, for you to give a dramatic reading of.
This is the scene from Avengers Endgame. Spoiler alert, where Thanos is having a...
Dank Thanos means...
Dank Thanos is having a conversation with...
Baby Gamora?
Young Gamora, yes, Baby Gamora. And Baby Gamora says, did Zadaroth make it through CID? Yes, says Thanos. Baby Gamora, what did it cost? Dank Thanos. Agathon.
And so people are melting down on the internet, and Travis Marg is like, don't jump to too many conclusions. There's some bad data in the download. And Private Press pushes another update, and Agathon is back at 9 essence, and the Great Princess, Grand Princess, is back at 5.
Oh, okay.
So, for one brief glimmering moment, we had a beautiful dank...
The birth of a meme.
Meme, but... hopefully it's no longer valid.
I feel like you Infernal.
Or maybe it's hopefully it is valid.
You Infernal should take this as a warning about who you make dark pacts with.
That's a good point.
Stick to your Gator Voodoo magic for appropriate dark pacts.
There is a change that it appears did actually go through. And that is that there was a spell. Zadaroth used to have Distraction, and that got replaced with Rebuke. So it is a nerf. Rebuke's still a good spell, but...
Distraction's a little better.
Distraction's better, and work better with Zadaroth. But Zadaroth was also... The current group thinks that she's pretty handily the best caster in the faction.
The OPI Infernalist.
So, we'll see.
All right.
But it is some interesting things, fun stuff going on. I am excited. Next week we can talk about the big reveals and see what we got right or wrong about all the stuff going on. Find out who's going to die. Find out what Iona player won the Iron Gauntlet. I kid.
Only slightly.
Josh.
Jay.
Do you happen to have a dad joke for us?
You know, I keep having a recurring nightmare about a horse in full battle armor. Actually, now that I think about it, it's more of a nightmare. Jay's face just became a Dang Dune meme.
I was going to say that I don't think that word means what you think it means, but it's obvious that you know that too at this point. Trevor, do you have something for us?
From the Q Corner.
Sure. I have the top five rejected names for Steelhead Ironheads.
What? I'm ready.
This is number five, the Steelhead Bucket Noggins.
Dang.
Number four, the Steelhead Titanium Shoulders. Number three, the Steelhead Fixers. Number two, the Steelhead Wrench Monkeys.
Nice, nice.
And number one, the Steelhead Steelheads.
Cool. Well, next week we will discuss some more sweet lock and load news.
Yes, we
will.
It'll
be awesome.
Okay.
So on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.